Welcome back. We're here again with another interview ahead of the Faction Championships for 2022. So, as a little recap, this is a invitation-only event where we get the team out and we go and we play a split-format tournament over one day. It's one of our two big marquee events for the year. This year we're playing Highlander and Crimson Vale Draft. And today I am joined by Kyle. Welcome to the pod, Kyle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I think at this point you've been downgraded maybe to a like semi-regular guest slash host.
I think so. That's when people talk about the pod, they don't talk about me, which is probably a good thing. So.
Yeah, I think you've been taken off the page on the website as well.
I don't know if I was ever on the page.
I think you were initially. I think you were initially. When it was just me and you were.
Oh, true. Way back.
Way back. That was a long time ago. That was over a year ago? No, it's like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Trent's been on for over a year now, since sort of the reboot when Trent basically was like, we should start this again.
Yeah.
And you and I were like, I guess.
Should be close to like 2 years now for the pod, I think. August. I guess that's not really close. Never mind.
That's not really close to 2 years at all.
No. I also remember the PT being in August. So it was before then. So maybe it was like less, or like a couple months before August that we started. Long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, so welcome back on then. We mentioned that podcast. That's been going for a year and a half now. But you've been on the team for much longer. How long have you been on the faction?
I think since it existed, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't known everyone for quite that long. Partly because they probably knew each other before either of us were born. But, you know, as long as I've had the chance to know them, I have. So, pretty much since the team became official, I've been on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, one of the more, I was going to say experienced, that's not quite the word I mean, but, like, one of the longer tenured, I guess,
members
of the team. Despite being the second youngest, I think, on the team?
I think so, yeah.
You've just been fairly young when you joined then.
Yeah. I don't know, has someone who's been interviewed before me known the day that the faction was formed? That would help me work out how old I was.
Oh, absolutely. Like, so you've been around for a few years, you've played in presumably all of the faction majors up to this point?
I think so.
I think this is champs number 4, and there's been 2 or 3 invitationals, I think?
That sounds right. I'm not sure how many, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 invitationals, and yeah, fourth champs.
This is definitely champs number 4.
Yeah.
So how have your finishes been in those?
One of them was not good. I think that was the first champs.
Yeah.
Was not good. So I tried to play Grixis Death Shadow because it was like by far the best deck in Modern at that point. But obviously I had next to no practice with it. So, you know, it went not so great. And I can't remember the rest of that event. I just know that if I didn't do well in Constructed, it wasn't happening. So
yeah, I think you have to do, like, at least passably well in both formats. Or at that point, was it? I think it might have been more than 2 formats for the first champs as well.
I think, yeah. It was, like, a weird one. I don't remember. I had definitely had limited. It's like Armenket Limited, maybe? Is that, it had the green-white aftermath card that pumped a creature by the number of creatures, I think.
Yeah, it's either Armenked or Hour of Devastation. One of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. I don't know. So my draft was okay, but yeah, Constructor let me down, so I was pretty much dead in that one.
Yep. But you've done better at the following events, right?
Yeah, I think I've top-8ed most of the others. I feel like there was another one that I didn't, but I don't remember which one.
Well, you definitely top-8ed Champs 3 and both Invitationals. I did not play Champs 2, so I don't know.
I think Champs 2 I didn't top-8.
Okay. So running on a streak then of 3 top-8s in a row.
I could say that, I suppose.
I think that's... I don't know, I haven't checked yet, but I imagine 3 top-8s from 5 events is up near the top, if not the top performance, I think.
Has Dogen top aided more? I know he's come second more.
Actually, that's true. Dogen has top aided. He didn't top eight the first Invitational. He did top eight the second one, and he's top aided two champs, I think.
Yeah, so that's 3 from 4.
Yeah, so he's 3 from 4.
Yeah.
Alright, well...
Don't know if you've done his interview yet, but there you go, you got a topic prepared.
I have not, but there you go. And how about in non-faction events, so the WotC events? I know you've had a bit of success there.
Yeah, so, well, I won the Grand Prix, and that's all downhill from there.
I mean, after the Grand Prix, you played a PT.
Yeah, so I qualified for essentially 3 PTs from that, because of the weird qualification structure.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them went okay, some of them did not.
Yeah, so, because that was after they split, so it was like 2 regionals and a, like, players, like the top level one, right?
Yeah, so there's a players final. The second regional was like a pseudo regional, because it was online, so you could play whenever you wanted. And I, like, out of, well, not a lot, but more than you'd expect for people from America played in the Asia-Pacific timed one, because they thought we were all scrubs and could beat us.
Which I think is foolish. Have a look at all the Japanese players who just keep crushing Magic Online events despite having to play at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's like Japanese players doing it the hard way, which is what they were trying to do, and they're just much more successful at it.
Like all of the recent events, like the World Championship was recently won by a Japanese player playing through the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's like I think they're the majority of their team, or like subdivision within their team, all made top 8, like playing the same deck and playing it 2 a.m. all of them. Can't remember the exact numbers, but it was a pretty insane record for playing on what I assume was very little sleep.
Yeah, it's not easy to play nocturnally and just play through the night.
No, it's not. And yeah, so I played 2 during the day, and the day one of them went really well. I think it was like myself and a few other Australians finished the day all within top 8 understandings.
Yeah, I want to say that was the one where you played Bant, right? That was the, like, at-home one where you played Bant.
Yeah. I played Bant at 2 of them, so...
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Had the good Bant event and the bad Bant event. But I guess they both ended up being bad because day 2 of that fell apart, so...
Yes, I do remember that. And so, between those, you went to... Or, between... One of those, you went to Japan, right? And played...
Yeah.
The Pioneer one?
Yeah, so before those ones, before COVID locked everything down, I played the Pioneer one in Japan. My Pioneer testing was pretty medium. I couldn't find anything I was, like, super happy with, and so I just went for a middle ground deck and did predictably middling.
That was... You played Mono Black, and that was the PT where everyone found Inverter and Lotus Field, right? Well, not everyone.
I think they already knew about Lotus Field, but yeah, Inverter... I don't know, some people were saying that Mono Black still was supposed to be favoured against Inverter, which didn't really seem to be the case. I definitely punted one match against Inverter, which is a bit sad.
My experience of Inverter versus Mono Black, from the Inverter side, playing a lot of Inverter, was it was pretty close. Like, Thoughtseize is annoying, bunch of aggressive creatures are annoying.
Yeah, like, if I remember correctly, I played against it twice, and I went 1-1 just because I, yeah, punted the second match.
Mm-hmm. And... So that PT you qualified for off a Moto PTQ win, right?
No, that one was from the Grand Prix. So the Grand Prix qualified you for the immediate PT, and because I won the GP, it qualified me for the PT finals, and then playing in the PT finals qualified me for the next PT.
Sure.
Was those 3. The previous PT I played before that in America was from a Moto PTQ.
Right, so... Tell me about the PTQ first.
Okay, so that was back during the PPTQ, RPTQ days. The PPTQ was at Good Games Melbourne, just no longer around. And I lost round 1, and there was 70-something people, and I really wanted to go home, because losing round 1 is not good odds for 7-round tournament or whatever it was.
You just have to win out from there, right?
Yeah, which is what happened. Predictably, given that I'm talking about it, otherwise I would have lost round 2 and gone home.
And that was what format?
Modern, yes. I was playing Living End.
Yeah.
Which you probably heard about a few times if you're a regular listener of the podcast.
Yes, just one or two Living End episodes.
Yeah, one or two. And that qualified for the RPTQ. I don't remember why I didn't go to it in paper.
I wanted to say you had, like, an unavoidable uni thing on the weekend of it.
That was the team one, but no, knowing Monash and there, not noticing a public holidays, it's not unlikely that it happened multiple times. But yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, played it online. This was right when they announced that they were going to change how PTs worked, and like the PT that qualified for was the last one before really big changes. Like, it was the one of the first few that had the name change, but the structure was still the same. So it was a Mythic Championship.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it still had all the same structure. It wasn't regional or whatever. And so everyone was trying to use their deferred qualification invites to the RPTQs all at once. And so normally the online RPTQs are like 100 people, whatever. It's like definitely harder than a paper RPTQ. But because everyone was pushing to use all these at once, the first one capped out at what I assume was 256 people. I don't remember. And they had to raise the cap for the second one, which was the one that I played in, to, I don't remember, but they didn't cap out, and there was like 300, 400 people. And I lost round two to a Dutch player who I haven't beaten on Magic Online. He beat me at a different RPTQ as well, because he was on KCI. At this point, the RPTQ started at 10 or 11, so round two was at midnight when everyone was going to bed, and everyone like went to bed downtrodden that I was not going to qualify for the PT, because I'd lost round two of my eight round event now.
Yep.
But again, predictably, given that we're talking about it and not saying that I went to bed at 1 a.m. after losing the following round, I won out the rest of my rounds. Notably, in the final round, I didn't return any creatures with a Living End, which was a pretty funny way to qualify for the PT.
Yep. Did you get other people, like, had they woken up by the time you got to the end of it?
I think they woke up, like, just as I had qualified, because it's like 7 a.m. at that point. So when normal people wake up.
Yeah, right, okay.
I think at least. I know there was one person, Nathan, who watched a few rounds with me. I don't know if that's against terms of service. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, he wasn't very helpful because he fell asleep in between a couple of the rounds. And yeah, he hadn't played Living End before, so. But at least he was good for moral support. It was nice. Didn't go insane having no one to talk to for 8 hours.
I was going to say, I feel like a lot of the time, especially with those long tournaments, what you really want is just someone to sense check you and be like, you can't do that. They have a rest and peace in play, or like, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, and also in the final round, Brennan from the Jerry's, he was awake. I don't know if he was awake all night doing whatever, but at that point he was awake. And I think my opponent was tilting. And I was like, because I hadn't returned a creature with Living End for the entire match, but I was about to win. Or they were just understandably upset that they lost their win in for the PT. But anyway, I thought that maybe I disconnected from Magic Online because they were just chilling. So Brennan was awake, and I pinged him on Magic Online to make sure I was still connected.
Mm-hmm.
I was. So he was awake at that point.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, everyone else woke up. Trent fell out of bed, sprained his ankle, or something similar to that.
Yeah, right. So, 4 PTs, then a GP win. You've played a few other GPs, right? How have those results been? Any good finishes?
The last limited Sydney GP was good. I don't remember what I finished. It was like top 32 somewhere, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another one that I've forgotten. I have no idea what it was. That had a good finish. Top 32 in LA. That had 2,000 people. That's the one. I should remember that one. That one was good. Apart from losing on camera twice, that was less good. It's like random day twos, but yeah, not doing super well, so not super notable.
Yeah, sure. Maybe not notable for you, given your resume. I think with everyone else, we go through like every last event. I know with my one, I was like, yeah, I day two to GP, and like that's one of the highlights. And you're like, yeah, I don't know, there were some day twos. They weren't that good.
Yeah, I mean, day two and then losing every round is, it's not fun, so.
Either way, safe to say, I think, looking both at WotC events and also faction events, you're one of the most accomplished faction players overall.
Yeah, that's probably safe to say. Sets unreasonable expectations, though.
Well, we'll get to the expectations. So, this event is, as I mentioned, Highlander and Crimson Veil Draft. So we'll start with Draft, Vow Draft. Have you done much of this set? Are you much of a draft person?
Used to be, but not anymore now that Draft is primarily on Arena. When it was on Magic Online, I still drafted a lot. But since, yeah, a couple of years ago when it's been on Arena, not so much. So I haven't done many drafts of Crimson Vow.
Mm-hmm.
Done at least one. I want to say two, but I'm not certain that's true.
Did you play that Greensboro event?
Yes, that's my one. And I'm pretty sure I did at least one leading up to it, so that I was not completely in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that the draft is still sitting in Arena, waiting to be finished.
Yeah, good. So, plans to go and prep for this event, or maybe not?
Unlikely, I think.
Okay, good.
I don't know, I read articles, like, at least, like...
Sure.
Know what the cards are, but
yeah, that's fair.
Physically drafting and playing the matches is the real turn off. I don't want to sit through bashing 2/2s and then losing to a bomb.
I feel that. I always just want to draft and then like everyone lays out their deck and then we work out who was going to win and move on. Draft again.
Yep. If I could do that, it'd be much better. If Magic Online queues fired, that would also be much better. But none of these things are true. So.
Why would Magic Online queues be better?
Because the chess clock, I can be doing other stuff at the same time. I don't rope out. And it's like, it's matches as well. So it's like closer to real testing, but it's mostly that it's easier to multitask using Magic Online.
Yeah.
And I don't have to sit through animations.
Yeah, easy. Yeah, that makes sense. On the flip side, Highlander, I think you've played a little bit more of that.
I have, yeah. So at the time of recording, there was a tournament yesterday. Don't know, maybe that'll be discussed at a later date.
That's going to massively date this episode when it comes out a week and a half
from now. It's fine.
But that's fine.
No one will know. They'll just have another Highlander event.
I'm just going to badly dub over you. At time of recording, there was a Highlander event 10 days ago.
I don't know, you're just like... There's no Ringwood. I go to Maze on Wednesday. Then there'll be 3 days less.
True.
Anyway. So yeah, so I have paper Highland cards. So I'm invested into it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've played a little bit more. Not as much as all the Highlander special... that's not the word. What was the word I wanted?
Specialists?
Yeah, not as much as all the Highlander specialists. So, probably not super advantage there. And I made a lot of mistakes in the last paper event I played. Presumably made a lot of mistakes in, like, the testing on Magic Online too. But it's more casual, so I don't remember them as vividly as losing my chances for top 8.
But I think it sounds like fair to say, out of the two, Draft and Highlander is your preference?
Yeah, it's like I could name... majority of the Highlander cards that I'm likely to play against, whereas I can definitely not name all the limited cards.
You say that, but just wait until you see what brews people bring in Highlander.
That's true. I don't think it's likely, but...
Just wait till Swanee brings his, like, channel mirror deck or something.
I think I'm probably just assuming that I'm losing to Swanee anyway.
That's fair.
His decks are quite well positioned. Well, the decks that he likes to play are quite well positioned against the decks that I like to play, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect to win against that anyway, even if I don't know what his cards do.
Yeah.
If someone else decides to play a terrible combo deck, then I'll just attack them with a 5-5, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of archetypes, you are definitely a fair blue player, I would say, with a predilection for Mystic Sanctuary.
Yes, I like Mystic Sanctuary. It was pretty good, until it wasn't. So, I don't know. It was, like, better on average than the number of times I drew two Delve spells and couldn't cast one of them.
Sure, that makes sense.
And given that the alternative to Mystic Sanctuary that I'm considering is another Delve spell, I don't know how much different it's going to play out to be.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
But yeah, fair blue decks, where you get to Loot Tree Treasure Cruise. That's where I'm at the moment.
Loot Tree Treasure Cruise is very nice.
It is.
And, you know, if you don't own a recall in paper, this is kind of the alternative.
Yeah, I mean, can only do so much.
So given that you've got strong resume, not a ton of experience with Crimson Vow Draft, decent amount of Highlander experience, I'd say probably above average, having talked to a few people now, what do you think your chances are?
Hopefully I'll make top 8 just because of the like riding on the Highlander constructed.
And got to keep the streak alive.
That too, yeah. Got to one-up Dogen on the conversion.
Yeah.
Although I guess it'll be a while. I have to wait till the next event to pass him.
I'm going to have to play up that rivalry now really strongly.
Yeah. The top 8's draft as well, right?
The top 8 is draft, which has definitely knocked out a few people, yeah. Me included, of really thinking we can actually win.
Yeah. Don't have high expectations of winning.
Yeah.
Maybe I can, like, luck out and make the semis, like the last invitational with my terrible deck. But, realistically winning, probably not. I would need to put time into it and... Not on the cards.
Fair enough. So if you're not winning it then, who is your pick to win?
I think Trent's probably favourite.
Yeah, this question was a lot more interesting before Trent decided he was coming. Well, not decided, but yeah. Had circumstances out of his control mean that he is coming. Originally he wasn't. And I do think the field was a little bit more open, and the field on answers that people gave to this question was a bit more open.
Yeah. It will be interesting though if he chooses a deck that he finds fun or a deck that he thinks is the best deck for Highlander.
Yes. Though I do think the deck he finds fun is quite good.
It is still quite good, yes. But, you know, maybe that knocks him from a 4-0 to a 3-1. Probably doesn't make a difference.
So then he's the, like, fifth seed instead of the second seed in the draft and he still beats everyone?
Maybe someone can high roll him on standings for being on the... when they're on the play.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Requires someone to go undefeated in the Swiss. So.
It would. So Trent is a reasonable pick then, if not surprising, I think.
Yeah.
Who would be your sort of dark horse person you think might be flying under the radar?
Probably Gibbo. I haven't thought too much about it, but Gibbo's the first one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
He did do a decent chunk of drafts before the Greenspire thing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he did.
Hopefully, yeah, good. Not misremembering, because that would make me look silly. So he's at least got a good grasp on the limited format, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
He's had reasonably good results in the last few tournaments he's played, even though he's less focused on Magic now. He's like more of a fab player.
Yep.
Flesh and Blood, if not apparent. Trying to remember what he's played in Highlander before... I feel like sometimes they were maybe not the best choices, but like then when we played other constructed formats, he's chosen good decks.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if he chooses a good deck for Highlander this time, I think he normally chooses Blood Moon decks. So maybe he'll just Blood Moon everyone and go undefeated.
I think that would be a good choice for this weekend. Blood Moon looks good in Highlander.
Yeah, so that could line up.
All right.
I don't know who else. I'm trying to like remember who's drafted the format.
Yeah, it's a big thing, I think. It's just who has experience with the two formats.
Yeah, because I think like finding the bar for who makes top 8 is a little bit easier because, like, as I was saying, it's so hinged on constructed. So you can just pick people who are good at Highlander who can 1-2 the draft. which is my plan.
Yeah, I was going to say, same here.
Yeah.
4-0 in Highlander, and then I only have to one do the draft.
Yeah, but to find who actually wins the whole thing, they have to 3-0 the second draft and not be terrible at Constructed.
Hmm.
Yeah, so Gibbo or Trent? Sounds right.
Gibbo and Trent are both good picks. Thank you for coming on to have a chat, Kyle. Best of luck, of course.
Thanks. Should be good.
This has been the Faction Podcast. We will be back with more interviews in the lead up to the champs, so come back and have a listen to those as well. Bye, Kyle.
Bye.